All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. First edition of the show post-draft. And now that that's behind us, and it was a whopper, we stare down that long, dark, deep abyss of the offseason. And there are no more things, no more events on the horizon. The draft happened, the schedule's out, free agency happened, the combine, all the little things they stick on the schedule. We got some owners' meetings coming up. I guess they could, you know, have some news coming out of them. But it ain't also that far away either when you think about it. If you can get through the draft, and, you know, I complain about the draft process being too long, but the plus side of that is that once you finally do get through the draft, May, June, part of July, and you're home. Just give me training camp and I'll be happy, and that's late July. You take away showers and meals, it's like 20 days, really, total. And we'll have pads clacking and football happening. And I know if you're like me, and if you're listening to this show, and if you're listening or watching or reading this website, JoeBucksFan.com, I mean, there's a reason why. You probably are like me. You can't wait for it. And I'm perfectly happy. We got a lot going on. We got the Kentucky Derby this weekend. We've got the Lightning in the playoffs, which continues to be, you know, right now a 2-1 lead as I record this podcast over the Boston Bruins. We hope that takes us all the way through June. We got a lot going on. So we're going to get there, folks. Ballers will be back on soon, hopefully, on HBO, and that always is kind of like the unofficial beginning of training camp in a way. So anyway, these are all things that are I'm excited about, and I know you guys are excited, and we have a lot of good reasons to be excited because Jason Light and company, I thought, knocked it out of the park this past week. And so getting into that, first of all, if you want to get a hold of me, always love getting your emails. It's very simple to get a hold of me. Just email BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. All spelled normally, all one word. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. I'm on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Now, on our show before the draft, I had talked about, you know, all the different scenarios, which everybody's show did that a million times over. We had talked about the possibility of getting Saquon Barkley if he fell. He did not, obviously. We had talked about, I wasn't a fan of that move anyway. We had talked about the possibility of getting Quentin Nelson, which I was a huge fan of, and if the Bucks had had a chance to do that, I still think they might have done that. We had had a chance to talk about Derwin James, who I wasn't a fan of, and the Bucks passed on that. We didn't talk much about Vita Vea, and the reason was not because I didn't want Vita Vea, it's because I did not think in the situation the Bucks would be in. You know, obviously we didn't know about the trade down going in, that there would be other people that would be there or not be there. You know, we didn't know exactly what it was all going to look like. But when it came to pass, when that sixth pick happened, and remember, as of the fourth pick, Quentin Nelson and Chubb were on the board. And at that point, I was still thinking, all right, Denver's in front of us. They're going quarterback, right? And surely they're going quarterback. So we're going to get one of Chubb or Nelson, who I would have loved to have gotten. And then successively in the next two picks, Denver opted not to go quarterback, even though they need one, and they went with Chubb, which is, again, hard to argue with. And then the Colts went Nelson. That's fine. When that happened, though, I said, hey, can we trade this and just still get a guy but get a couple picks? And I wasn't thinking two second-rounders. I was thinking maybe we'd get somebody's second-rounder and some third or fourth, you know, something like that. So when the seventh pick came to pass and Jason Light pulled off a move with the Bills, who were all hard about Josh Allen, and I hear the trade just get, you know how you hear a trade get announced, but you don't know the terms yet? So I saw them switch the little Bucks icon on the bottom left corner about who's on the clock. They switched that to the Bills, and I'm like, oh, cool. All right, they must have made a trade. Bills are on the clock, so now we get an extra second rounder. I was like, that's sweet. And I was already happy. Just, if we had just gotten the one extra second rounder, I was already going to be happy. And then they said, oh, no, 2 second rounders to move from 7 to 12. I mean, and listen, when I say the Bucks knocked it out of the park, we have no idea how any of these players are going to be. So you can't grade any team. And I don't know why people do it except for clickbait, but y'all are going to click on it, so maybe that's why they do it. You know, no draft grades matter. We don't know who the players are. But just sheerly the structure of the Bucks draft, the way they handled their draft, you've got to be happy with. And yeah, we don't know how good Vita Vea will be. You know, Ronald Jones, MJ Stewart, Carlton Davis, the third round pick or second round picks. We don't know how good they're going to be. It might end up being a terrible draft for all we know, or it might end up being a great draft. That'll have to take years to determine. But just based on, again, the way the Bucks structured it, the way they played it, what they had and what they turned it into was really an impressive job. Like, that part, you can say that right now. And I tip my hat to Jason Light because they got a guy they would have gotten anyway, only they turned it into two extra players. And given the situation, if they had had a chance to take Nelson or Chubb, maybe they do it and just do it. And in a way, it's almost better that it didn't work out that way. And it got me to thinking, you know, it's a funny thing because fate works in funny ways. I did shows back in the end of the 2017 regular season, and I do this annually pretty much because the Bucks are usually not playing for a playoff spot. But I talk about, you know, as a Buck fan, as someone who loves this team, it's kind of weird to root against them and want them to lose. Even though I know it might mean a better draft pick, I still don't like the idea of rooting against the Bucks and doing that sort of thing. It just doesn't feel right. And we were looking at, again, all the things that happen late in the season. And you had the Bucks, and it's funny because I remember that Saints game, the last game of the year, and I remember that final drive. And remember how Saints, and they were out there, it was week 17, Bucks were 4-11 at the time, and I think it was Chris Godwin, right? Yeah, it was Jameis Winston, it was a 12th, and they're down by a point, and we're thinking, should I root for them to kick this field goal? Like, if they make this kick, or, you know, they end up scoring a touchdown, but at the time, I thought they'd kick a field goal. And I'm like, man, that's going to cost them like three or four spots. They'll go from picking fifth to like eighth or whatever. We didn't know exactly what it was going to be back at the time. But then, out of nowhere, from like 40 yards out, the field got aggressive, and Jameis Winston threw a touchdown pass to Chris Godwin. And because of that play, the Bucs finished 5-11 instead of 4-12. If that play hadn't happened, the Bucks would have been picking fifth. And like I said, Thomas Bassinger wrote a good article about this in the Tampa Bay Times earlier this week. And then you're watching the draft on Thursday night, and the way the first round's unfolding, I thought about it. Like, I actually, in my mind's eye, I was picturing, like, wow, what if we were picking fifth right now? What if we lose that Saints game? And it ended up costing the Bucks two draft spots. But now that we know the math, the Bucks picked seventh instead of fifth because of that touchdown pass. So, Bradley Chubb could have been theirs. Quentin Nelson could have been theirs. And things could have unfolded completely differently. And maybe if the Bucks are picking fifth, they stay at five. They end up getting a great player, probably. But if they're at five, the Bills never talk to Jason Light about making a trade. And the Bucks probably just take their first-round pick and make it, and don't end up getting two additional second-round picks. I'm really glad it worked out the way it did. And this is why I tell you guys, don't try and look into the future too far. Like, when something's really clear-cut, like I remember Week 17 game against the Saints, it was, I guess, what, 5 years ago now, or 4 years ago now, when the Bucks were trailing late, 20-7, I think it was, and then we named, they were going to get the second pick and probably get Marcus Mariota. And if they lost the football game, they get the first pick and get Jameis Winston. That was clear cut. We knew it was one or the other. And I remember thinking, you know, Mariota could end up being great too. We still don't know. And Jameis Winston, a lot of you don't think he's so great. Some of you do. But for me, I wanted Jameis Winston all along. And I remember thinking, oh, this is weird. Like, that's the closest I've ever come to, like, being really challenged. Like, man, I really want to root for the Bucks to lose this game. And they ended up losing the game kind of on purpose, not in that they didn't play hard, but in that the coaching staff and the front office put guys out there in the second half who were not caliber guys. And it still almost damn near didn't happen. The Bucks should have won that game. Drew Brees led a Saints comeback, two touchdowns late in the fourth quarter, and the Bucks won or lost the game. And I remember walking out of that stadium thinking, that was kind of weird. Like, that was really weird, but we're going to get Jameis Winston now. I remember thinking that. But when it's, like, kind of a gray, oh, we're picking fifth, maybe seventh. I said, don't look too far ahead. Don't worry about stuff. Just enjoy the football game for what it's worth. And ball team, just love them. Just watch them and just root for them. And that's my advice usually every year, because I just don't like the whole tanking thing. Even though, again, objectively, it does seem to help in some situations. It's just not worth it. And this past year was a good situation, example of that, because I don't think that if the Bucs lose that Saints game and pick fifth, they get the draft haul they wanted. Will remain to be seen who the player is, you know, that they could have had, what they do and what Vita Vea does. But I know this. They could have gotten one guy plus Ronald Jones. Now they got Vita Vea, Ronald Jones, MJ Stewart, Carlton Davis. They got bodies at corner. It's a huge position in need. It was a really, really bold move by Jason Light. And another thing I liked about it was that when you make a trade like that to amass picks and trade down, you take a little bit of a risk of not getting the guy you wanted to get in exchange for having more picks. But what is that type of consideration? It's a futuristic consideration. It's a big picture consideration. It's not an immediate gratification type thing. It's, hey, let me roll the dice here a little bit. I'll get more players, even though I may not get the same guy I wanted, although in this case the Bucks still did. But, you know, that's a move that if you're Jason Light and Dirk Koetter, who are facing it in the, who don't have the luxury of waiting a couple years to see how things pan out, because if they don't get it done this year, they're gone, and they know that. And I was one of the ones who, I'll admit it, and I will continue to eat crow. I hope I'm eating plenty of crow this year, because I hope the Bucks are winning. But I said, yeah, you know, I'm cool if they just want to move on from this whole staff. I remember exactly what I said. I said, how often do you really regret letting someone go? I mean, most of the time you let someone go, you're never like, oh man, we fired that guy too early, we should have kept him. I said, go for it, clean house if you want to. Like, I was really miffed. And a lot of you were too. The Glazers, and remember the whole Gruden thing going on? Oh, that's another thing. You know, at the time, Gruden was up in the air, and he's talking to Bruce Allen now, which I said on this show. I said, you know, the Gruden thing's all well and good, but if he even winks toward Bruce Allen's general direction and tries to involve that snake in this franchise's business ever again, that's a complete non-starter for me, and I reject the whole thing out of hand. Well, that's what he's trying to do in Oakland. So we'll see how they end up doing, but I'm already glad, not having had a down played yet, that we didn't get Gruden here. But I was ready to move on. I was thinking, oh, you know what? Let's do it. Let's freshen up here. So we're waiting a year. And so we'll see what happens. Obviously, we have no idea. But I give Dirk Koetter and Jason Light credit, because, you know, that's a move toward the future. Those that right now don't have the luxury to look too much toward the future, they got to look at the right now. But they did something in the best interest of the ball club, and I think it will end up being the best interest of themselves. So you get Vita Vea, who, you know, isn't perfect, but obviously, and all the shows have talked about it. You don't need me to break down the Bucks draft any further. But to have a guy that big, that strong, up front, on top of what you already have in Gerald McCoy and the ability he's going to free up for the guys on the tips, like Vinnie Curry and Jason Pierre-Paul, and just looking at what the Bucks have done altogether with that defensive front from going way back to the end of the season to now, I mean, Jason Light, I'll tell you this much, if they get fired after this year, he ain't going to lose any sleep, or he shouldn't lose any sleep, because he emptied the chamber. Like, if you're going to lose your job, if it's not going to work out, you never want to said, well, I could have done maybe this or that, I should have done this or that, I just didn't do enough. Jason Light doesn't have to worry about that, because he has done as much as he possibly could to revamp this front seven, and particularly the defensive line, and it's gone on paper at least, and we'll see when they put the pads on, but it's gone on paper at least from one of the worst units in the league to, you would think, at least top half of the league, if not top third of the league. And the Bucks' offense last year didn't rank very low, okay? They did pretty okay. It was the Bucks' defense that was so much of an anchor on this team and just killed them week after week. And if they can just get to average, you're going to see a lot of improvement. If they're even better than that, and that kind of leads me to my overall thing with this draft. Again, we can't evaluate individual players yet. We don't know anything about them. But what did Jason Light and Dirk Koetter accomplish the most in this draft? They changed our attitude. I mean, if you look at where our mentality as fans was, if you're like me, and I think a lot of you are like me, you know, we still had that kind of, you know, whipped puppy type thing where, oh, you know, little old us, I don't know, you know, we'll see what happens, but man, I just hope we can get in there and make it competitive and, you know, I don't know, the Bucks, I'm not too high on them right now. And now, like, again, without any football having actually been played, I am all about 2018. I mean, I am ready, like, just like that. And to do that to your fan base is no small thing. I mean, this whole thing is supposed to be entertainment. The whole point of this is that you and me and everybody else out there either puts our eyeballs on it on TV or goes out and buys shirts and hats and jerseys or whatever it is you like to wear, and of course buys tickets and all that stuff. It's entertainment. That they're trying to entertain us and keep us interested. And obviously winning is what goes the furthest toward that, but what they've done now is get me, and I'm probably thinking got you excited too, about 2018 way more than you were. And you're always excited after the draft. Okay, the draft happened. Here we go. Let's start this. I mean, even when the Bucks were supposed to be terrible, I feel that way. But I'm really, truly excited and really, truly intrigued now about what this football team can do. And I want to find out. And I want to see. And I want to be a part of it. Fan. Like, as a fan, I'd be someone who was on the ground floor. And Lord knows I was. You were too. And who wants to see this thing through now. Because I didn't feel that way even a week ago. Even after free agency, I was still, although I felt a lot better, and certainly a month, 2 months ago, we were nowhere. And maybe we still will be, I don't know, but I know I'm sure as hell ready to find out, and I'm excited about finding out. And by the way, a lot of you would feel the same way, and you know how I know? Because that draft party was wild, dude. Great job by the Joe Bucks fan, the whole stick carrier deal, everybody, like, you know, sometimes you hear about all this stuff and you wonder, I wonder how much of an impact it's really going to have. Are people that excited? Well, there was no issue over at Buffalo Wild Wings on draft night last Thursday because that was a fun, fun atmosphere. Tons of people. You guys are ready. And, I mean, we're all ready, like I said. So, we still got a few weeks to go. There's a lot going on. I even had a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and if you have season tickets, or used to have season tickets especially like I did, you know, you still remain on all of their lists. And I get calls periodically throughout the year from the Bucs, and they're great. It's usually the younger kids, interns, or people who are just, you know, working in the ticketing department. And they're always just really positive, really nice, saying, hey, what can we do? And I commend the Bucs for that. I mean, that's, you know, a basic thing that every franchise is supposed to do. But the Bucs, they'll do that. They'll call you up and they'd say, hey, you know, just want to see where you are, how you guys are feeling, you know, what are your thoughts on the team? Like, she didn't just say, hey, you want to buy season tickets. The girl that called me said, hey, you know, what's your relationship with the team? And I told her, oh, you know, born and raised Tampa, Florida, you know, in my mom's womb for the 79 NFC Championship game. The whole spiel I've given you guys before, too. And, yeah, ex-season ticket holder, you can probably see it in your computer there. I told her, you know, 12 years, whatever it was, got out just because I don't need season tickets anymore to the games. And I do go to the games, but I just didn't feel the need to actually get in before everybody else. And I don't like paying for preseason games. Again, all stuff I've said to you guys. And she said, well, what can we do to get you back right now? And I said, well, you know what? And this is always what I've said. I said, hey, my policy is I will renew my season tickets the exact same hour, not even the same day, the same hour that I get the news that the Bucks have fixed their uniforms. Because that is my biggest, of all the things I hate about, you know, how things have gone or losing this and not being in the playoffs, that the uniforms that they currently wear are still the single most hurtful thing that my favorite sports franchise has ever done to me. And I mean that. And I told her that, and she's probably rolling her eyes, and you guys are probably rolling your eyes. But I said, listen, I don't know if you keep records of like what fans say and you send them up top or something, but I want you to put it in your computer. I said, tell them this guy, Bobby Fenton, ex-season ticket holder, will renew, cannot abide by the current uniforms, wants them fixed at once. I'm not here to talk about the uniforms. That's not my point, but I'm just saying what I told the girl that called me. And we actually had a nice conversation about it, and you know, she actually asked me more questions and wanted my philosophies, or at least pretended to be interested in my philosophies and things like that. And I won't bore you with them. You've heard them before if you've heard this show. But I'm serious. Like, that's the number one thing we need to do. Jacksonville just made a fix, and they can't ever get their uniforms right, except for the original ones, which were beautiful. So this time they went to what looked like practice jerseys from their hideous helmets and their hideous uniforms to now what look like practice uniforms. But that's better. It's always better to err on the side of too basic rather than too much like what the Bucks have. And I don't want to hear that crap about, oh, just fix the numbers and the rest of the uniform's fine. No, that's true. Fix the numbers would be 50% of it, but there's other stuff they have to do. But I said, yeah, you know, that's important to me. I said the most important thing to me is, you know, to be sleek, to be clean, to be consistent, and to be iconic. That means pick a uniform and stick with it for like 30, 40 years. Like, don't change every 7, 8 years just to get fans to buy jerseys or just because people have short attention spans now. I said, that's my thing. And so after we had this conversation, she's like, well, hey, how about a 5-game package? And I said, you know what? I didn't buy it yet, but I said, email me some info on that. I want to hear about that more. Let me just, you know. And I've said on this show to you guys, for those of you that think about getting season tickets, I've said to you, just buy them after the second preseason game. You can buy them at any time. You don't have to buy them before the preseason starts. And that's how you get out of paying full price for preseason games, which is easily the biggest racket going. But, you know, a 5-gamer is basically half the four regular season games plus one of the preseason games. You know, I'll think about it. Either way, it doesn't matter if I buy them or not. I'm going to go to Bucks games this year, but symbolically, I find it important if you want to really support your team and you feel that they deserve that support, you know, you can make a statement by purchasing season tickets through the team. That's something you can do. And I'm not ready to do that just yet, but I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. So when I look now ahead to the offseason, and again, the owners' meetings are up, we're going to find out more about the kickoff rules and things like that, which, you know, what I think is going to happen. I don't think anything radical is going to happen yet, although we talked on previous shows about how the kickoff is something that they're definitely angling to get rid of. They're not going to do that touchback thing, I don't think, to the extreme. You know, I think you're going to see an elimination of running starts. I think I know they cut down the unlimited running start to 5 yards. I think now they're going to have, like, you have to be stationary, almost like a regular play from scrimmage. Like, you can't be moving forward at the kick. I think they'll do that. And they might even eliminate blocking in the first few yards. You know, like, they want the ball to maybe be received before there's blocking. They're going to make it more like punts, basically, which have fewer high-speed collisions. I don't think it'll look that different yet. But that's something that, you know, you can look forward to. And other than that, here we are, folks. So, real quick now, I'll talk Kentucky Derby with you guys. And if you're not into horse racing, I'm not going to do a whole segment here, but this is just my little honorary. And I'll tweet my pick, which I haven't made yet. I'll tweet it out in case any of you care, which you probably don't. But just something for you guys that are maybe looking for an edge on Saturday. And the Kentucky Derby is one of my favorite sporting events. It's one of my favorite days of the year. I love tradition, in case you didn't realize after I talk about all these uniforms, but same thing goes for sporting events. I love them steeped in tradition. I love them unchanging. I love the ones you can set your watch to year after year. And for the 144th year this year, on the same exact patch of land in Louisville, Kentucky at Churchill Downs, they will run the Kentucky Derby, the oldest continuous sporting event that we have. They didn't take a break for World War II like almost every other one did. They've been running that thing first Saturday in May. It's one of my favorite weekends. And so it's a hard race to handicap because there's always 20 horses, 19 horses. It's not your usual 8, 9, 10 horse race. And it's the first time these horses have all gone this distance for the most part. A lot of unpredictability. The horses are very young, 3-year-olds, you know, still coming into form. And no one knows what the hell's going to happen. But there's one theory I'll give you. It's called the Kentucky Derby Final Fractions Theory, if you're looking for an edge here. The horses that run in their mile and an eighth prep race, they all run a prep race. We got the Florida Derby, we got the Santa Anita Derby, Louisiana Derby, Arkansas Derby, there's a bunch of them. You know, the Wood Memorial, all those, they're a mile and an eighth. If you take their final 3/8 of a mile and their final 1/8 of a mile, and they have, you can just, again, Google it and you'll get the numbers. Kentucky Derby Final Fractions. The horses that finished their mile and an eighth prep race, if they finished 8th in under 38 seconds and the final 1/8 in under 13 seconds, a horse that did that has won like 25 out of the last 30 derbies. It's very, very unusual. It'll happen. It's not a guarantee. It's very unusual to find a horse that kind of crawled home at the end of their prep race to then come to the Derby and win it. And usually when that does happen, it's some wacky thing where the race fell apart because of a crazy pace scenario or something like that. So about half the field did that this year. had fast enough final fractions, and by no means can you just pick a winner using that. It's more of a way to eliminate horses. And some of the ones that you think are favorites can be eliminated, and some of the ones that you think are also rans actually qualify under this theory. So it's a good way to maybe find some value out there. And if you want to go with Justify, who's the favorite, he definitely does qualify. His prep race, he finished very quickly. The favorite has won 5 years in a row. I think they're getting better, number one, at letting horses in because they have a point system now that rewards performance in the prep races. It used to be money earned, and you could earn money in all kinds of different races that aren't really races like the Derby. And you'd have sprint races where horses would earn some money, and then they'd use that money to qualify for the Derby. And it's now you got to do it in Derby preps. And I think they've got better fields now. I think they have deeper fields now. And I think the odds of some long shot bomber coming in and cleaning everybody out because of a wacky pace scenario are less. And that's why you see favorites winning more often. And some people think that's not as fun. Either way, again, if you want to just get a little hint, and I'm not going to tell you who to pick because I don't know who I'm picking yet, but it will be one of those 10 horses that qualifies under the Kentucky Derby final fractions theory. Either way, enjoy it. If you have 2 minutes on Saturday afternoon, it's not like it takes a bunch of your time up. It is the most exciting 2 minutes in sports for a reason. I want to thank everybody for listening. We're going to have lots of fun going forward over the summer. If you're one of those people that gets upset when I don't talk just bucks, 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 you know, I'm going to need you to loosen up a little bit in the coming weeks and months because there's a lot going on in sports. There's not going to be a ton going on with the Bucks. We're always going to keep an eye on that. But we're going to keep counting down to the training camp, and obviously a lot of stuff is going to be coming up in between now and then. And I want to thank the Joes for allowing me to do this show as I do every week on this just fantastic website, which will always have you covered if you're just bucks, 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 and nothing else. Don't worry, because nowhere on the internet can you get better content, fresher content. I mean, every day there's just new stuff going up rapid fire, and it doesn't matter what time of year it is. That's how the Joes are really good at it. I mean, I have to say, I couldn't do it. Some days I'm like, yeah, nothing going on today. No, 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 not with the Joes. There's something going on at Joe Bucks Fan every single day. Thanks to them, thanks to all of you, I am Bobby Fenton, and that is the Free Stretch Post-Draft Edition. As we begin the month of May, wherever you are, thank you for listening. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.